Sermon 19. Abide with God according to the gift each person has received. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 40. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Beloved saints, today through the word of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we are going to look deeply into what kind of life attitude the saved saints should have on this earth. This chapter speaks about marriage and singleness and life in the world, but at its center, there is one clear standard. It is exactly the life living upon the already completed gospel of salvation. The Apostle Paul first speaks about marriage and singleness, acknowledging the state given to each person. Some people are married, and some people are living as singles. Paul does not set either side as an absolute standard. Rather, he says, "But each one has his own gift from God." This is a very important principle. Faith is not evaluated by external forms, but is determined by the state before God. If so, why does Paul deal with the issue of marriage like this? At that time, there were extreme thoughts within the Corinthian church. Some people viewed the flesh as evil and denied marriage itself, and conversely, some people thought that it was okay to follow the desires of the flesh however they pleased. Both of these are appearances that manifest when one does not know the gospel accurately. If one does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, a person inevitably flows into two extremes. One is legalistic asceticism, and the other is self-indulgence. However, a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not waver between these two, because his standard is not in his own deeds, but in the salvation already accomplished by Jesus. Paul says, "Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called." This word does not mean not to change, but it says that the starting point of faith is not in the circumstances. Whether one is married, single, a slave, or a free person, these external conditions do not determine salvation, because salvation has already been completed. If so, how was that salvation accomplished? By receiving baptism from John, Jesus shouldered all our sins, was judged on the cross with those sins, and completed salvation by his resurrection. This is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He who believes in this gospel is already a perfect person before God, no matter what state he is in. Therefore, Paul applies the same standard to the married and to the single. That is to live in the Lord. The married serves the Lord within marriage, and the single serves the Lord in the state of singleness. What is important is not the state, but whom one looks at within that state. Also, Paul says this, "The time is short. The form of this world is passing away." This is a very important insight. This world we are living in is not eternal. Marriage, wealth, and circumstances are all passing away in the end. Because of this, if we put the roots of our faith here, we will inevitably waver. Beloved saints, many people are still bound to circumstances even while living a life of faith. They waver amidst marriage problems, economic problems, and human relationship problems. Why is that? It is because the center of salvation is not clear. A person who fully believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. He does not waver no matter what his state is, because his salvation has already been completed, and his relationship with God has also already been perfectly established. Therefore, Paul says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." This word does not simply speak of social independence. It is a declaration that our identity is not determined by people or circumstances. Because Jesus shouldered our sins and paid the price, we are already the Lord's. Now our lives must change. It must no longer be a life dragged around by circumstances, but a life standing upon the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Whether we marry or do not marry, no matter what situation we are in, our center must not change. Beloved everyone, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is asking us like this: where is the standard of your life? If that standard is in circumstances or conditions, you have no choice but to continue to waver. However, if that standard is upon the salvation accomplished by Jesus, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, you will not waver in any situation. Now we must return again to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism he received from John, Jesus shouldered all our sins, was judged for those sins on the cross, and completed salvation by his resurrection. This gospel must become the standard of our lives. When we do so, we finally become free. We become free even within marriage, free even within singleness, and come to live a life living toward God in any circumstance. I hope that this gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes your center. So I hope that you come to live with a faith that does not waver in any situation. Hallelujah.